I want to share with you tonight one of the most powerful Mashalim parables that I've ever heard. I think I've mentioned this in the past, but we never applied it in Chodesh Adar. Story goes that there was a boy who grew up in very, very poor conditions, lost his father when he was very young, and the only job from about 6, 7, or 8 that he found was to be a chimney sweeper, what we call in Hebrew menakeh arubot. And his life was literally a life of filth. He would go from home to home, rake out a small living. That sounded like a siren for a second. Rake out a small living, and it was a very miserable existence. And he worked in a big city with a lot of wealthy people. One day, one of the heads of the community, a man with a very large business, noticed that his fireplace wasn't working so well. So he called his servant and asked them to order a chimney sweeper. And sure enough, let's give him a name, Dovidel the chimney sweeper comes, and he does his job. And the fellow, the rich gevir, is sitting in his study, and he's taking care of business. And he begins to space out. And he notices this darkened chimney sweeper working on the furnace and work going up, all the way up the chimney and down. First he's intrigued by his work, and then he begins to notice him. And there's something about him that's, he can't describe it, rhythmic, special. Something about him that catches his eye. And he begins to think of himself, you know what? Really low down in my business, I have a job that might be appropriate for him. I'm going to send one of my guys, one of my deputies, and have him look into him, whether maybe, you know what, I'll give him a big raise. I'll give him my lowest job on the totem pole of my business and bring him in. So he sends one of his deputies, he looks into him and he says, you know, he's an honest fellow. If you're asking me whether you should bring him in to do some clerical work, he'll be fine. And then the businessman begins to think. And he says, okay, let's give him the job. And he notices that not only is this boy someone who's decent, but he's beautiful. He's so special. And a crazy thought enters his head. Remember, this story takes place in the 19th century when a rich boy, a rich girl, didn't marry a poor boy. His daughter's been going out for a few years, and she's been going out with what they call the top shiduchim, and none of the guys she was really interested in. And what she described to her father was exactly this chimney sweeper. He has a deputy go over to the guy who's still doing chimney sweeping on the side. He's still dirty. And he says to him, I've got a match for you. And he suggests it to him, and the boy doesn't believe him. He says, what are you talking about? But sure enough, he says, just go on one date. And they go out on a date. And she likes him, and he likes her. And they go on a second date. And sure enough, as the fairy tale goes, they fall in love, and they get engaged. Now, there was someone else, another chashuv mensch in the community, who had thought that his son was appropriate to marry this girl. And it drove him crazy. The chimney sweeper? He approaches the boy after he's engaged. And he says to him, Dovidel, you don't get it? He says, what do you mean? Dovidel says, do you realize, does this make any sense that you're engaged to this girl? Did you ever dream that you would marry? He said, no, I feel like I'm the luckiest man in the world. He says, Dovidel, when are you getting married? This year, Purim falls out on Friday. Shabbos is right afterwards. He says, I'll tell you what's happening. Your ofruf, he says to him, is on Shabbos, right after Purim. You don't get it? This is the Purim spiel of the year. This is the biggest joke. On Erev Shabbos, on Purim, you're going to be getting ready for your ofruf, and it's going to all turn upside down. And Davidel begins to think, you're right. It never made any sense to me. You know what Davidel does? This Friday, he runs into the rich man's house and he just says three words, four words. I can't do it. And he runs out of the house and no one ever sees him again. You know what the Nimshal is, Rav Osai? The Nimshal, it's so appropriate to the Avodah of Purim. Every single one of us are the chimney sweeper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to every single one of us, I could match you up with the greatest things in the world. But you know what happens? We say we are so black, we're so dirty, we're from an entirely different league, it doesn't have any shaychus to us. We're not connected to it at all. It's not a coincidence, if I could add to this legendary mashal, that it happened on Purim. It wasn't just the Purim spiel. Because in a few days, every single one of us are going to be taken into the Kodshei Kadoshim. Purim, the Zohar tells us, is on the Madrega of Yom Kippurim. And at that time, we're going to have to make a very, very deep choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put the exact same situation of this chimney sweeper in very different contexts into our lives. Every single one of our lives. And the chimney sweeper makes the awful wrong choice. He says, there's no way that this is me. This mask is not me. I'm not that person who could be great. I am doomed to be blackened for my entire life. Listen to the words of Rav Carolyn Stein. Dihine bepurim hare gam iskale pnimios ha'odom umistalkim hamasichos v'ha'historim. The essence of the nafochu of Purim is that everything is turned upside down, the masks are removed. And here's the question, who are you really? That's what Purim asks. Are we the chimney sweeper or something else? Pitachto saki vata azreini simcha, the idea of dressing up on Purim is the notion that a person could throw off that sack at the end of the year. The last month we spoke about in Chodesh Shvat is all about a person having potential, realizing he has potential. On Purim is the opportunity to actualize the potential, to decide who I really am. There's an amazing story, a legend, that they say in the Rav Shir. I don't know if this one is true. They say that there was a fellow, let's call him Friedman, who was in the Rav Shir, and he really, at best, he was scared of the Rav. Maybe he didn't even belong in the Shir. There's some people who allege that there were certain people who went to the Shir just to have the name, that they were in the Rav Shir. So Friedman was in the Rav Shir. It happens to be that Friedman had a prominent father, and the Rav used to try to get to know the guys by getting them to read in the shir, but often what happened, in the beginning of the year, the Rav would start at A, B, he would go down the attendance list, but he hardly, by the end of the year, got to F. Usually, eventually, he used to, his favorite Talmidim would end up being the Zogers, the one who would say. And of course, everybody was scared to death. When the Rav would call on you to say, it was tenacious, it was ferocious. So the fellow Freeman had a father who happened to have known the Rav, and he came over to the Rav at some event, and he said, do you notice my son Yosef in the shir? The Rav said, no, I never really met him. The Rav felt a little bit uncomfortable, so poor Yosef, who used to hide behind the beam in the back of the room, I met the person who actually, the legendary person who hid behind the beam. There must have been a lot of beams in the room. So the Rav came in, and he felt bad, he didn't know Friedman, so he came and he said, Friedman, say the Gemara! Yosef Friedman panics. He panics. And of course he says, Friedman's not here. To which the Rav said, as you say the Gemara! I don't know if that story is true. But Rabbosai, those are critical moments. those critical moments. Who are you? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in the position that the Rav was going to call on you now, then right now, that meant Yosef Friedman had one of two, it's a made-up name, had one of two possible choices. It meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, it's time to step up. This is now the time that I could read and be torn apart by the Rav, but I'm going to grow for it. Or I'm going to become the butt of a joke for eternity, as you say the Gemara. Because the moment the Rav said, as you say the Gemara, it's a totally different ballgame. The way he perceives himself and the way others perceive him. Purim is a time where a person says, wait a second, I could step up. I could be something, pitachto saki, I could throw off every single one of those sack. It's different than the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, where there's a slow process. It's v'nafoichu. And it can happen dramatically. In a few days, every single one of us are going to be at that opportunity, that darga of Yom HaKippurim, where a cheshbin ha-nefesh during these holy moments could entirely change a person. But let's go a little deeper. These words sound familiar. He chose a date for the disaster. It's ironic what came after. Didn't know a girl named Esther would turn it upside down. Had to call home to get the lyrics from the Maccabees. Turning it upside down, the Maccabees missed the point. It was not only that Esther, through the Yad Hashem, turned it upside down. Sometimes in order for a person to change something, then they themselves also have to be turned upside down. The chimney sweeper blew that shidduch. There's somebody else who blew their shidduch too. You know what Esther says to Mordechai? I don't want to go. You know why Esther doesn't want to go? Not only because she's scared what's physically going to happen to her. Kasher avadeti avadeti. Esther had the best shidduch in the world. You know who she was married to, according to Chazal? Mordechai. She wasn't the usher to Mordechai all the time that she was with Achashverosh, because Achashverosh came to her. But the moment that she was going to go to Achashverosh, Mordechai, he doesn't want her to go, she doesn't want to go, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that she has to go. The shidduch that you think that's right isn't always the one that's right. The Nafochu and Purim says, wait a second, who is the true me? What is the real Pnimius? And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from my Pnimius? And thereby a person has to challenge every single one of their assumptions that they've made in their lives. I assumed I was going to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's destiny is for you to go back to America. I assumed I was always going to live in America. Maybe my tafkid is to live here in Arzeinu HaKadosha. Purim is the time where all the chitzonius is stripped away. It's a time in which the real you begins to emerge, and sometimes the real you is not how society confined and constrained who the real you is. And the chimney sweeper is doomed because he allows society to confine him to who he is. Kasher avodati avodati, the hester of Purim is not only about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working behind the scenes. The Nafochu is not only that there's a miracle that's happening which seems to be going one way and turns out to be going in a different way. In our own lives, there's a destiny, kasher avadati avadati. In our own lives, there are things that have to be overturned and changed. Zaktis Vasemes. Based on this, we can understand the famous Medrash that says that Purim is not going to be batal. La'asad lavo. Purim is the only Yom Tov that's going to remain. Listen to his words. Ki hine kol anisim shenasu l'vnei Yisrael hayu mitzad zchus maseim atovim shehem uchanim l'nisim. All the miracles that happened to us, eventually we're not going to celebrate them because they're not going to be significant. Avol bepurim hayu be'emas gzera b'shamayim rak al yidei tshuva zachul anes. Then v'nafalchu ha'purim, and this is my third point, is only due to tshuva, and that, the Sfas Emes says, stays forever. That was how the world was created, repentance, and that is the essence of what Purim is all about. The above two points, the person no longer to be constrained by the way they assumed about their life, for a person not to be constrained about the way society had assumed their life was going to be. Purim is a time to change. Of course, the change is through tshuva. And therefore, I want to be tachlistic. I want to be practical. This Purim is a zman that's mesugal. It's a time that is specially dedicated for tshuva. Pure and simple. And like I alluded to before, it's entirely different than the tshuva of the Yom Noraim. The Yom Noraim having a development of 40 days. 40 is the gestation of a fetus. 40 days was the gestation of Moshe Rabbeinu to bring down the Torah. A process. Purim is the exact opposite. V'nafalchu, in one day a person can entirely change everything. He could bring out the Hester. And the only way to bring that out, these are all nice ideas. The chimney sweeper is a beautiful mashal, but the only way it's going to happen is if a person really spends the time to use it as a Yom HaKippurim, to make a cheshbon. What is the pnimius in my life and what is the gashmius that Rav Karlenstein was describing? What is my mask and who is the real me? What is the destiny that I assumed is mine? And what is truly a destiny that's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There's one thing I'm going to spoil, many, many things I'm going to spoil from my special wife. But I want you to internalize something that's very simple that she does. Maybe it's not so simple, but I think it's something that's nevertheless amazing for just the Talmidim to hear. Just to bring out in very, very practical terms what the Avoda of Purim is all about. My wife is up late. I remember the first time she said this to me, I was very, very taken aback. She was up very late preparing Purim the next day. We have the Seuda in our house, making the Mishloach Manos. And my wife asks me, what's the earliest Megillah reading in the neighborhood? I said to her, why? You need a little bit of sleep, tomorrow's going to be a busy day. My wife says to me, at 10 o'clock already the house is busy. If I get done with the Megillah by 9 o'clock, 9:30, then where's going to be the time, the essence of what Purim is all about, the Zman HaTshuva? A simple Jewish woman, maybe now you won't listen to me again, who never even went to seminary after high school. But she has a sense of what Kedushas Purim is all about. It's not only about the Seuda, it's not only about the Kriyas Megillah, it's the Zman where a person begins to ask themselves, just like by Yom HaKippurim, who is the real me? A time of Cheshbon HaNefesh. I beg of you, my dear Talmidim, I beg you, don't make the mistake of the chimney sweeper. If you're just going to follow along, you're going to be following along the assumptions that everybody is making. And that's antithetical to Avodas Hashem. It might even be a ruchniyistik a day, but it's antithetical to Avodas Hashem. Purim is a time in which a person makes a torturous, holy, and glorious decision. And that is exactly, where is my pnimius? What is the messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been sending me? What are the things that I've missed throughout the year? And Be'ezer Hashem, we should be megala, that which is the Hester, to be mekadeshem shemayim, and bring out the tremendous potential that is inside of every one of us. And then Be'ezer Hashem will choose right. We'll choose that shidduch, even if that shidduch wasn't exactly the shidduch that we thought it was going to be. We'll choose that relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, even if it wasn't necessarily the exact same place we expected it to be. And then Be'ezer Hashem will go much further than we ever dreamed that we could. That's the essence of the Purim.